Good morning. I think we'll get started just a minute or two early. Thank you for joining me this morning to talk about Office 365 and managing change. We're going to talk a lot about just change management generally of the service, where we are today, where we hope to go in the future. I would love to hear your feedback as well. So please, if you have questions, I'm happy to take them during the session or afterwards as well. You have to come up here to the very front and stand in front of everybody to ask questions. I'm joking. You can ask questions from where you sit. We'll make this open and conversational in tone if you're amiable to that. So I'm Jake Zabrowski, and I am responsible for the Office 365 product management team. So I have a group of folks that work for me, and we're responsible for everything that comes up to the suite level of Office 365. Change management being one of those things. We also work on onboarding and identity and a whole bunch of other topics, security, privacy, compliance, important stuff. But today we're going to talk about change and what that means and where we're going. So to give you a quick overview of our agenda, so first topic we're going to address is what does it mean to be an evergreen service and to discuss the implications of that. What is our release process, and how is it different from the past? And what does that mean in terms of how you as an IT professional can actually manage that change? Then we'll talk about how do you stay ahead of change? What tools are we providing you? What processes, programs, and resources do you have to stay ahead or stay in front of what's coming down the pipeline? Then we'll kind of take a little bit of a foray, it's a little bit of a backward step, and talk about what we're doing in the cloud, how we are developing for the cloud, so you have a better understanding of why things are the way they are and why they're different than they were in the past. And then we'll go into some questions and answers. But before we get started, how many of you here are already using Office 365? Vast majority. So that means you have a lot of pent-up demand and questions for how can I get better visibility to change. Is that right? Raise your hand if that's what you're here for. All right, about half of you. Great. How many of you are not on Office 365 yet, just so I know? Okay. Okay, about a third. How many of our partners? Partners, any partners in the audience? Okay. And the rest of you are customers? Okay, perfect. Great, thank you for that. It gives me a good indication of what I should talk about. So first off, I just want to set the stage. Change management is a part of a curriculum of resources we have around service management generally. And there's another session actually later this afternoon that goes into the other half of service management, which is talking about service health, communications, and incident management. But to give you just context for how this fits in, the relationship with Microsoft and a customer in a services world is very different than the relationship we had with our customers in the traditional on-premise world. We have a direct relationship, a day-to-day engagement with you. We're hosting a service with your data. That means that we have to provide you with access and clear visibility to what's going on. So the customer journey goes beyond just you purchase something, we hand it over and say good luck, have fun with that, but it goes beyond that. Goes through the deployment stage, and as I'm hoping you're all familiar with our deployment tools, methodologies, those of you who are already on have already gone through that process. Those of you who are just beginning the journey to discover Office 365, you should really check out all of the content and programs we have with Fast Track. It's a really fantastic methodology we've learned through best practices on how to onboard through the service. Once you actually have onboarded the service, you get into a run state, and that's where the day-to-day management of the service is important. Change management, service incident communications, managing the health of the service, extending the service, adding new applications to the service, all of those things become of critical importance, and that's where we're going to focus a bit today. We do actually have a framework we've built around service management, and what you're going to see from us is a bunch of additional content and guides that go into more detail on how you can best manage a service like Office 365. As we well know, there are many different models out there for managing technology, ITIL models, et cetera. There's not really one that's really tailored to managing the cloud, the way that Microsoft and other cloud providers operate. And so we're working on building out a really nice comprehensive view of how you can build out your IT practice, how you can define your skills and skill set for the future, and then manage these services in the best way possible. So first off, to just kind of level set, we're all on the same page. There are three main pillars when we think about the cloud and Office 365. Number one is that we're maintaining an evergreen service. And at the base level, what that means is it's always current, always up to date. We'll talk about that in more detail. Second platform that we talk about when we build Office 365 is that it's based upon trust. I'll go into more detail on that as well. And then third, but it's also highly configurable and highly scalable. So that means that you may not have the same level of control and configuration and choices you had with on-prem, but you have ways to configure and extend the offering and really tailor it to your business needs, and we'll talk about how you do that. First off, trust. This is of critical importance. This session's not about security, privacy, and compliance. If you haven't attended those sessions, you should. But I want to make sure everyone's clear that as we develop for the service, even though our cadence of development is much faster, that we're developing new features on a continuous basis, that we're releasing on an almost daily basis to the service, the foundation that we have for everything we build is trust. We have all of our processes around quality and security are still in place, and we ensure that before we release code, that it meets all of our strict guidelines for security and compliance as we go forward. Talking about configuration and scalability, Office 365 is a highly configurable service, meaning that there are ways that you can tailor this to meet the specific needs of your organization. If you saw a lot of the announcements, we had some on the main stage and then one of the foundational sessions on the first day. We've been investing very heavily into the APIs that surround Office 365. I think Satya Nadella, our CEO, multiple times over the past 8 months has stated that the most important API set a developer can build on this next year is Office 365. That's because it's becoming a platform in its own right. In the way that SharePoint was a great platform on-premise, Office 365 is becoming a great productivity platform in the cloud that you can extend and build upon, whether you're building native iOS applications or you're building something directly on top of SharePoint Online or Exchange or Excel, Word, or PowerPoint. And so there are many different ways you can configure this. Configuration and extensibility has changed in the cloud. We have to extract that from the core code, but we've provided you with many different APIs and more to come on how you can do that. So what's changed? What's different about Office 365 versus our traditional on-premise products? Fundamentally, most things have changed, everything. The development process itself, how we develop the software has changed. About a year and a half ago, we had a very significant milestone for the Office 365 business. And when we released the last wave of Office products, the Wave 15 version of the products, that was the first time that we actually released cloud first. And what that means is that everything we develop for the cloud. And that we still ship things on-premise, but we take what we've developed in the cloud, and then we package those things and ship them on-premise. And so that change was the first time we had done that development model. That means that we always develop cloud-first features, and then we bring them on-premise. The pace of innovation has also changed. We used to release every 3 years. Now we release on a nearly daily basis. I'll talk about that. How we talk about our roadmap has changed. You know, in our old model, we used to have a roadmap process that was part of our 3-year release cycle, and there was a lot of visibility months before, and that's also changed given a rapid development environment. Also, our communication policies have changed. In an era of direct relationship with you, in an era of an ever-changing service, we have to be very transparent in how we work. Now, like every other feature of the product, it's really important to note that how we do all of these things, including change management, including communications, like any feature of the product, is also changing and improving. I would say we've made some great progress in the past year around how we communicate and how we update the service, but we still have a long way to go. We still have a lot of improvements to make, and I'm sure those of you who raised your hand that are using the service that have questions have some very specific requests that you would like to have as well. So happy to chat through those. So part of how we are delivering the service, there are three things. One, with our continuous release cadence, we are delivering continuous value to our customers. That was a huge amount of feedback that we received from customers when we talked to them about how they were using our on-premise technology. Many customers were using much older versions of our software. So when we were being judged in terms of the quality of our software, the innovation of our software versus competition or even versus consumer technologies, people had an experience of Office that was Office 2010 or 2007 or Exchange 2007 or 2003. And so we have this new continuous value of delivery that we're delivering customers so that they get access to the latest technologies very quickly. We talked about trust and compliance. Now I want to talk quickly about responding to customer feedback. One of my favorite things, personally, about the way we're building the Office 365 service today is that we do actually have the opportunity to respond to customers and their feedback. In the old release process, that every three-year release process, we had cycles to solicit feedback from customers within the development process. But for the most part, a lot of that feedback, although we took it into consideration, was prioritized against a long list of things that we intended to do with that release. We had about 6 months of development and about 2 years or so of tests and feedback. And so a lot of that feedback would come into the next cycle. And when it was prioritized against the long list, sometimes it made it in and sometimes it didn't. What we're now seeing is actually with having better access to our customers, understanding how they're using the software, getting direct feedback, we're making changes into the software in a more rapid fashion based upon how you're using it and the feedback you have for us on how you would like to see it improved. So Office 365 is evergreen. Yeah, I mentioned that evergreen, like an evergreen tree, means it's always fresh. It's always available. So the service is always up to date. So every customer has the latest version of the software. We had a lot of feedback on that, what I mentioned before, that you were viewing the value of the software through a lens of a software that was 3+ years old. That 3-year release cycle also meant that we developed a lot of the features and capabilities of the software 3 years ahead of when we launched it, or about 2 years ahead of when we launched it. And when we launched it, then customer expectations often shifted very quickly, especially in the most recent couple releases of Office. And so having an evergreen service means we can react more quickly to market demands, but it also means that you always have the latest and greatest. You have the latest capabilities. You're able to delight your end users with the latest and greatest tools and technologies. There was an interesting, as we know, working in the IT world, the trend for consumerization of IT, right, where we talk about not just bringing your own device, your consumer device, into the IT shop, but also bringing in consumer technologies. There were many, especially the younger generation of information workers, were coming into the job place having high expectations for the type of technologies, the type of innovative technologies that they could use in the workplace. And if they weren't able to do it, they were finding a way around IT and using some of those consumer technologies, whether it was video editing software or sharing software, to be able to be as productive as they were when they were in university, when they came to work. And so as we know, one of the core responsibilities we have is actually protecting the information assets of our organization. And when we create roadblocks, people will find ways around those roadblocks. So we felt, as Microsoft, we needed one, provide a new level of innovation that met those new and emerging needs for this younger generation of workers, and also make more people just generally more productive by having better tools, having better technology, being able to meet or exceed expectations, and having as good or better of an experience using enterprise software with all of the controls as you do working in a consumer world. And having an evergreen service gives us the ability to deliver and meet those market demands. So when we talk about change in the new world, it's a very different story than change in the past world. I think oftentimes when I talk to customers who are at least starting to look at Office 365 and the service, and I talk about it being evergreen, that comes to be a somewhat of a scary proposition. Because if you're used to change in the past every 3 years, that's a lot of change. How is this going to happen on a daily basis? But we used to have what we called a wave cycle, right? Every 3 years, rolled up the garage doors, here you go, good luck. Now it's more of a ripple, right? We have small changes that are coming out on a more continuous basis. I have a graphic to demonstrate this. So in the old world, you're trucking along, running your IT shop, and then Microsoft releases a new feature. You go through a process. You go through a change management process. You assess the impact of that change. You assess the business value of that change. You also had quite a bit of time in the old world for how much time you had to prepare, right? Because Microsoft would release something, that didn't mean you had to take it on day one. Even if you did take it on day one, you had at least a minimum of 6 months ahead of time to prepare. You were probably part of a release development program or an early beta program. You would assess the impact, and you would choose to move forward or not. And what we found is most customers actually chose, I might just skip this release and we'll just look at the next one. Well, that was great, because that meant you had a lot more time, right? You had a lot more time to prepare for that change. But it also meant that the impact of when you had to actually implement that change was very significant. You had to go through various huge processes to remediate all of your hardware, all of your ISV applications, all of your desktops. You had to go through a huge amount of retraining for all of your end users. And it was an extraordinary effort. And that was daunting to most customers. And that's why we saw many customers starting to lag further and further behind, because that amount of change was just huge, hard, and difficult to justify, and a lot of work to do. So in the new world, change is like walking up a staircase. Isn't that a nice graphic? It's small. Change is incremental. And given that we're taking care of actually doing all of the update of the service in the background, that means you have time to actually manage the change, manage users, drive user education, and drive deeper engagement in the products. What we're starting to see from usage of Office 365 is that we're seeing a lot more depth usage of capabilities of the service than we have in the past, simply because, one, new things are being presented in small increments. For an end user, it's really difficult to absorb all of the change that came in a 3 or 6 year period all at one time. And most IT shops and most customers, when they went through that amount of disruption with that amount of change, really spent the majority of their time just trying to get back to how the business operated before we adopted this technology, rather than really looking at all the new things and what it could actually do for the business. And so we're finding two things. One, there's a lot more business value being seen in Office 365 service, just because you don't have to worry about managing those huge disruptive changes, and you're able to incrementally move forward. Also, because of the user education became a bigger focus, and users being able to get access to information in small increments of changes, they're starting to adopt it and use it much more often. And so this is all in terms of using the service, getting value of the service, justifying the business case for the service, a much stronger place than in the past. I would also say it's really exciting in terms of change and using the technology, because for many customers, this is the first time when you use Office 365 that you see all of these services stood up next to each other and configured so they can work together. Most customers had a mixed environment of some sort. We have Exchange 2007 and 2003 and 2010, and we have this SharePoint over here and that SharePoint over there, and maybe we have a little bit of Link there with this other thing over here. And so they didn't actually have a consistent environment configured where all of the services were working together the way they were supposed to. So all of the capabilities and features that were meant to only light up when you had them all working and configured together appropriately just didn't exist. And so when you think about things like presence and some of the sharing capabilities that we've had for quite a while, those things are now really lighting up for customers. I mentioned that one of my personal favorite things about the way we run the Office 365 today is how we take feedback from customers. We get feedback from you in multiple ways. Obviously, we work directly with customers. I talk to customers nearly every week about the service, about things that they like, things that they don't like, things they'd like to see us improved. But we also have listening tools like support, Send a Smile, other tools that we have in place to really understand how you're using the service and how we can improve it. And we are making actual, real changes in the product on almost a weekly basis based upon that feedback. And a few examples of that. We've recently extended the notion of how we do RMS and document types and how much information you need stored. And so I hope you saw the announcement earlier this week where now you have unlimited storage in SharePoint. We also have support for RMS for PDFs and things like that that customers have been asking for quite some time, and we're making big improvements for that. Video is another great example where customers have been asking for years for better support for video within SharePoint, and now we're going to be releasing Office 365 video in coming weeks. Send a Smile is interesting because that gives us direct feedback from end users as well, provided you opt in to the telemetry for Office. So we can actually hear and see directly from end users what they like and what they don't like in the product. And they can tell us, hey, I really hate that I have to click 4 times to get to this feature, or I really like the way this works. That's great. I love this change. So we can actually hear directly from your end users on what they like and dislike. We're also paying really close attention to the tools you have to manage as well. There's actually another session on Friday talking about the administration experience for Office 365, and we're trying to make a lot of changes there as well, make it a better experience for you also. But small little simple things like how we do password reset, managing length of passwords, security of passwords, like we're making improvements there as well. So for those of you who aren't on the service, to set some context, we are delivering in this new Evergreen model. We have released in the past 18 to 20 months, probably 120 to 150 new features. This is actually really, really exciting time for Microsoft. It's a time where we are completely reimagining how we build software. And I would say, as a really key example, if you look at 3 years ago, maybe even a little bit less, if you look at the headlines on Microsoft, a lot of people were complaining that we didn't innovate. They're saying Microsoft hasn't done anything innovative for a long time. They just follow everybody, and they do just, you know, very, very expected things. I would say that is not the headline any longer. I would say for those of you who are on the software, on Office 365, you can probably agree, we're starting to see a little bit of the, whoa, that's a lot of change. That's a lot of innovation that you're delivering to us that we have to digest. It's almost a little bit of the opposite. You know, I'd rather have the problem with we're doing, being really innovative and providing a lot of great value than none. So we still have stuff we have to work on there, though, as well. But just as a proof point of that, like just, what was it, the week before last, we announced Sway, the newest application that will be part of the Office suite, which is the newest application we've announced for Office since OneNote. So it's been about 10 years since we've announced a full new Office application. And so Sway will be coming to the Office suite very soon. I would also say it's interesting from an innovation standpoint because of what the cloud enables us to do. In the past, you know, we built these silos of technology. We had SharePoint, which had a bunch of standalone technologies. We had Exchange, had a bunch of standalone technologies. Link, which was a bunch of standalone technologies. And when we built those, we had to build them to be a complete standalone experience because we had to expect that they would be implemented individually. So when you think about things like how people collaborate in groups, we think about things like simple things like calendaring. We had to have notions and technologies for those things in each of those individual workloads standalone, which meant for our customers deploying, it's like, what do I use for what when? There was a lot of discussions and questions on that. With Office 365, we actually had the benefit of having a more of a shared service model. So when we think about groups and the new unified groups that we've announced, that now has layers of technology across the stack. When we think about compliance capabilities, instead of having separate compliance capabilities for Exchange and SharePoint, we're now creating a compliance center across all of those layers of technology. And so we're actually rationalizing some of those, creating unique and more great experiences across those. Yeah, question in the back.
What does that mean for the on-premises product?
Yeah, the question is, what does that mean for the on-premises product? So as I mentioned before, we're still committed to on-premises technology. We announced it in calendar, late calendar year 2015. We'll be releasing the next version of our on-premise servers. That means that there are some, majority of what we can, we will package and put in the on-premise technology. There are some technologies that we won't be able to, like Yammer, for instance, is not something we can package that we will not deliver, but a lot of technologies we will. And so coming soon, we will be publishing some roadmap for those items as well.
Yes.
Great question. So he asked, in the past, you could expect that each of those could be installed separately and individually. And does that mean that in the future, for the on-premise technologies, do I have to install them all in the same, configured together in the right way? No, that does not mean that. That means that sometimes the functionality, you know, depending upon how it's packaged, will be still discrete in those workloads. So you'll have groups capabilities still within the discrete workloads, depending upon how you implement it and how they're packaged up, where we put the different components of the technology. So you'll still be able to install just Exchange or just SharePoint or just Link. Yep, that's right. All right, so let's get into some of the details on change management. We'll talk about three things around change management. Oh, question here. Sorry, I can't hear you at all. There's a dull roar coming from outside. The question is there a website where you can find a list of all the features? Great question. Hold that. I will address it here, and if you need more, please feel free to ask again. So we're going to talk about three things. Number one, we're going to talk about how we think about change at Microsoft, how we categorize different types of change, so you can get a view on how the changes are categorized before they go out the door. We'll talk about the first release program and go a little bit of detail on that. And then we'll talk about the communication vehicles. So where do you go? What are the sources of truth for information so you can make sure that you're in front of change as well? So we'll talk about the right places to go for information. So there are two large buckets and then subdivisions of those categories underneath that when we think about change. The first type of changes are changes to functionality. These would be improvements or additions to the end user experience. They come in two types. Number one are feature updates, where we're updating existing features. So we're making improvements to an existing feature set. We're adding storage capability to OneDrive. We're extending, adding a new button in the admin experience, for instance. Then we have new introductions. As I mentioned, the amount of innovation coming out of Microsoft is pretty amazing right now. And so we had to create this whole new category called new introductions, meaning these are new technologies that are not part of the current user experience that we're introducing. An example of this would be Office on the iPad. When we introduced Office on the iPad, it was new. Nobody had been using it. It didn't disrupt the current user flow. There was obviously work you could do to adopt and use it, but it wasn't something that changed the user experience at the point of release. And so in terms of change management, managing user expectations, you had some time to adopt change in order to roll that out for your end users. So that's how we think about new introductions versus feature changes. Existing user flow, change that you probably want to potentially manage or inform your end users about, versus new introductions that you have a little more time to choose to roll out and inform your end users. Then we have platform updates, things that are happening on the back end of the service or things that are happening that have impact in terms of configuration or how you manage the service. The first is called disruptive change, and I'll talk a bit more about that and our policies around that as well. But we named it disruptive change on purpose because this is change that potentially impacts the flow of data. This is the type of change that will require you to make changes in your infrastructure, whether that's part of our lifecycle support policy for devices, for browsers, for versions of on-premise Office. Those are things that require you to make changes. And so we'll go into a bit more detail there. There are also some changes that are not super heavy lifting, but just small little tweaks that you need to stay in front of. Like if you have IP whitelisting, you might want to make sure that that's up to date when we change our IP ranges and whatnot. So there's some minor configuration changes that you'll want to stay up to speed on. And then the last, but certainly not least, is infrastructure improvements. These are the changes that are constantly done in the background. Hardware improvements, security patching, bug fixes, things that we're doing constantly to keep the service up and running. Does that make sense? Is that helpful to see kind of how we do that end to end? Okay. I get a few nods here. All right, so in light of that, let's now talk quickly about first release. Anybody familiar with first release? Anybody's a tenant in first release today? One. Excellent. You're a winner. We'll talk a bit more about that here. So first release is a new program that we've made available to all customers. It's an opt-in program. By default, every tenant is out of the program, meaning that you get to choose to join if you want to. What first release does is it provides you early access to a select set of significant updates to the service. Things like Video or Delve, where we're announcing something pretty significant, pretty large, that you may want to take a little time before you start to roll it out to your end users. And so this is not a huge set of things. It's a very small set of things. The program is brand new. We're still building out the muscle and actually managing this through the release cycle. But what it is it is a general availability of that feature, but we will release it to a smaller subset of customers who have chosen to see it first. So two things I think are interesting about this. If you're fully bought in, give me the cloud, give me Evergreen as soon as things are available. I want to see the latest innovations. The first release may be the right program for you. If you want to have a little more time for some of those more significant features, a little bit more advanced warning, then being out of first release is probably the right decision for you. It is a tenant-wide setting today, meaning that you're either in or out for your entire tenant. We don't have the ability currently to be able to target just specific populations of users within a tenant. When you opt into the program or opt out of the program, so say you opted in, within 24 hours, you will then be part of that release group and you will get updates that are part of first release. If you're in first release and you say, I really want to slow down a little bit, that's a little bit more than I want to take, you can opt out at any time, and then within 24 hours, you will be removed from that release group and put into the standard release pool. And the changes will be reflected within 24 hours of that. The benefit for you to be part of first release is that you get features a minimum of 2 weeks ahead of the standard population. So again, if you want to have access early, you get these small set of features a minimum of 2 weeks ahead of all other customers. If you're not in first release, that means you get at minimum at least a 2-week warning that these things are coming to prepare for those. So I'll just quickly show you the opt-in for this. We built this for a couple reasons. And again, this is an area where we still have work to improve. And we'll start to see, as we get better at first release, more capabilities that will be part of first release as well. So here I'm in Office 365 tenant. Let me go into the admin experience. To be part of first release, you go into the service settings. And you can choose on or off right here. That's it. That's as simple as it is to opt in or opt out of the program in the admin experience. And so, again, if you're fully bought in, give us the stuff as quickly as possible. That's the right program to be in. And I'll talk about how we message to you and how you get information on what's in first release or what's out of first release when we talk about communications. So we added first release to our release process because we got a lot of feedback that there are some bigger changes that were coming down the pipeline that were harder to absorb, especially bigger changes for the end user experience. And so we were trying to create a program where, one, we did not reduce our ability to be agile and respond to market demands and customer demands. We weren't slowing down our engineers from releasing that business value into the market, but we provided some level of control. And when I talk about the implications of how we develop for the cloud, it'll give you, I guess, a better view into why things work the way they work today and what the implications are. So before we had first release in the Office 365 service, we had our standard design, develop, test. We deploy it to internal dog food. Then we go through MSF, Microsoft IT. It would go to our NDA roadmap. And then we would release without basically any notification whatsoever, which that was problematic for customers, as you can imagine. But just, again, overview of the release process. We develop it. We have an internal dog food process where we continue to test, go through all of our trustworthy computing principles, go through all of our security checks, test quality checkup process. We then deployed it to about 100,000 users internally at Microsoft, and then we would release it. So we got a lot of feedback that was too little fast, and that most changes showed up, and that's how you found out about them, and that was not good enough. We also found that our NDA-only roadmap process, which was an artifact from our old release mechanisms where we were very secretive about how we talked about our roadmap and we only provided an NDA deck to our sales teams who then gave it to our partners who then talked to customers, was really not a fast enough process. And so it just caused a lot of uncertainty in terms of what was coming to the service. So we've done a couple things in the release process to make improvements. First phases are still the same. We design, develop, and test it. We have internal dog food. We send it out to Microsoft IT for final vetting, quality checks internally. And then we have a new thing called the public roadmap. I'll talk more about that. And then we added first release before our standard release process. So again, first release is only a small set of features. At this point in time, we're gaining capabilities, we're adding capabilities here, but it's a very small set of features. But first release is general availability. So when we put updates into first release, that is fully supported, fully documented code. It just gives a little bit of pause for those significant things before we send it out to the general population. So GA data's first release, we'll communicate it to you about it then. If you're not in first release, that means you get a little bit more time with those features, about minimum of 2 weeks before you would expect to see those starting to show up. Honestly, many things that go into first release may actually sit there for a little while longer. They may sit there for 3 weeks or even potentially up to a month. But a minimum of 2 weeks' time between those. Any questions about that? Okay. So, how do you stay up to date? The question you had just a little bit ago on where do I go? Where do I go to get information on what's coming in the service? There are many different places where you can go to get information. And I think one thing that we've tried to do over the past 6 to 12 months is try to really clarify the locations or the sources of truth for information. The first place for information that you should use and manage in a very different way than you've managed in the past is system requirements. System requirements in the old on-premise packaged box software days was something you looked at when you were going through your change management evaluation. What is different about this piece of software? What are the requirements for that software? What do I need to do for my desktops? What do I need to do in my data center? Right? So you would look at the box, what are the requirements, go through the evaluation, do I want to do that, yes or no? And then you wouldn't look at system requirements again until you went through the next round of change. Well, in a services world, system requirements are, one, it's still a huge source of truth for what you need to do to prepare your on-premise environment for these services. But you also need to manage it in a more dynamic way, right? These things are, it's like a train rolling very slowly down a set of tracks, or a glacier moving very slowly, that you should be able to actually anticipate where it's going and put schedule reminders in place to know when the lifecycle policies are changing and evolving as well. We also have a really great, lifecycle policy. So we know, standard Microsoft support for desktops, Office is 5 years. Standard support, 5 years extended, so you can plan ahead for these things as well. We'll go through a little bit more details on that. We've introduced some new things to the service over the past year and a half as well to do a better job of communicating. This is an area where we still have improvements to make, but I think we've made great strides. One of which is our Office 365 technical blog, and I'll show that and we can go through a bit of detail there. Another is in product with Message Center. We have lots of different ways that we've communicated with customers, including email communications, other notifications, through account teams, through partners. But really the best way to communicate to you, we found to be most effective, is directly in the product, where we know you're actually able to receive that information. And then last but not least is our public roadmap, which I briefly mentioned. We'll talk about in more detail what we have and why we did it right now. So I mentioned before, in the on-premise release world, we had a process for disclosure under NDA. And typical technology companies are very shy about what they talk about publicly for a couple reasons. One, you want to make sure you're not giving your competitors a really good view into what you're building so they can try to beat you to market. And number two, because whenever you develop any kind of software, as we know, with any kind of IT project, there's always risk. Unknown things come up and dates get pushed and timeframes get moved around and even projects get canceled from time to time. And so we want to make sure we're not releasing that amount of uncertainty into the marketplace and setting expectations that we don't intend to deliver. And so roadmaps have always been pretty closely guarded. But in an evergreen world where things are updating on a daily basis and things are changing very rapidly and we have an agile development process, we can't be that closed about how we talk about roadmap. And so we've made the decision to not worry about the competitive aspects of it and to help you understand that there might be some risk in these things, but we're going to be very transparent in how we talk about our roadmap. And we're going to publish it on a website because we can't also depend upon the concentric rings of training that it takes to actually train our field, train our partners to talk to our customers about change. So we made the decision to publish it publicly. Now, not every single feature gets on the public roadmap, but the vast majority of things do. There's some very small little tweaks we do to the service that just are of insignificance that don't. And then there are some things that are much more sensitive in nature that we wouldn't release. For instance, like when we announced Office for the iPad, that's an example of something that we wouldn't have released on the public roadmap until we announced it. Typically, the public roadmap is a 30 to 90 day view of things that are coming to the service, but there are also things that are much further out. For instance, in the keynote on the first day, Julia White mentioned some of the DLP capabilities for SharePoint, including having policy tips as part of SharePoint and the Office clients. That's a feature that's actually coming a little bit further out than the 90-day view, that when we announce it early, we will put on the public roadmap and you'll get a longer-term view. But for the majority of things, it's about 30 to 90 days. It's a much higher confidence window that those things will be released to the service, so we can mitigate some of the risk of things not coming out in a timely fashion. Let me show you that real quick so you can get a view of what this looks like. How many people are not familiar, have not seen this roadmap before? OK, about a third of you. All right, so that means a lot of you are using it today. That's great. I would say also here is an area where we've gotten a lot of requests for improvements. We've heard a lot from customers like, can I get an RSS feed? Can I download it? Can I get it into Excel? Can I get a CSV file of all this stuff? So we're looking at ways to improve the roadmap as well to make it more useful for you. The one thing that we've tried to shy away from a little bit is just having offline copies of it, because these things do change. And so when you think about your source of truth for this, the website is the place where you should go to get the latest information. So we roll these things out in different categories. We have things that are launched and fully released, and they'll sit on the calendar just for a period of time so that you can have a little bit of a backwards view of what's happened most recently in the service. So when we go through this list, you'll see that there are things at many different levels, from APIs, the apps for Office Exchange, enhancements to Exchange mail protection reporting, better first run experiences, JSON, Lite support, Office OneDrive for Android, so you get a view across the entire Office 365 service, including Office 365 Pro Plus, the service version of Office, as well as all of the Exchange, SharePoint, Link services, as well as mobile. So you can see there's quite a bit of information here. When you click into any one of these, I'll click into the Service Communications API, you get a little bit more information, and you get links to additional content. If you've been watching what we're doing around service management generally, we also recently released the Customer Success Center, which would be a parallel or a Gemini twin to this site, where you get information on what's coming, you see that it's releasing, and then you link to content that helps you deploy it, helps you educate your users, and helps you train your end users for these changes. And so you'll get links to that type of content here as well. In here, we also have things that are in the process of rolling out. We currently don't have flags here for first release, although that's something that we're looking at. But you get, as we release, and I'll talk about a little bit how we release as well in waves, but things take time to roll out across the world. We have many, obviously, data centers across the globe. And so we roll these things out in a phased fashion. And so sometimes it takes time to roll these things out. So as things are rolling out, we place them in this category. So again, you have detailed information on what those things are. And then we also, this is the one that people probably are most interested in, is that in development. This is the future view. These are the things that are coming to the service. And so you can see here we have a lot of interesting stuff that's on its way, one of which is App Launcher, which I think I could actually show you in my portal. It's a new, really interesting, as we start to develop a lot of new technologies on top of Office 365, whether it's Delve or Sway or third-party applications you want to integrate with Office 365, they can actually show up in your global navigation as well. And so we have a new way of actually accessing those. So you can see all of these new capabilities that are coming. This is the video service that I mentioned before. And then we have two other categories. Canceled is there is, again, with any kind of future view of what's coming to the service, there is a potential that things get postponed or canceled, or we get feedback that something was not quite up to speed for what customers were looking for, and we may decide to do it. We haven't had to use that category yet, but it is there. And then we also have, after things have been in the launched view, after they follow the launch view, we do give more of a historical view here as well, so you can go back and see previous information. So this is the primary place where you can go to get information on what has come to the service, what's coming to the service, and stay up to date. So you should bookmark this site if you haven't already and use that. I'll talk a little bit more about direct communications in a bit, but I first want to talk a little bit more about the system requirements. I mentioned that system requirements and lifecycle policies are a dynamic thing you need to manage to in this new environment. Again, in this world, it's that constantly moving glacier. And so staying on top of the system requirements and policies is important in managing to those on a more dynamic basis. It's not a point in time. It's actually something you need to manage to on a regular basis. Specifically, when we think about system requirements and support for older versions of browsers or older versions of clients, it's not our intent to block usage of those. It's just as we continue to move the technologies forward, we need to take dependencies on more current technologies. For instance, in the browser, we need to be able to take advantage of some of the latest capabilities of browsers, HTML5 capabilities inside the browsers. And so there may be some instances where we're taking requirements on some of those new features. It doesn't mean that the older versions won't work. It just means that they won't work quite in the same way. You may have some features that don't work as expected in the older versions of the software. And so just because it's not part of our supported set of technologies doesn't mean that it won't work. It just means that we may not be testing and guaranteeing that 100% of capabilities will work in those older clients or those older browsers. But generally speaking, any Office client in mainstream support, whether it's Office 365 Pro Plus, the service version of Office that's up to date, or an older version of the client, will be supported with Office 365. So as we continue to release Office in a perpetual license and a perpetual desktop install, we will still support any of those clients that are in mainstream support. But browsers are a little bit interesting just because a lot of the browsers are now moving to an always up-to-date model as well. But we are committed to doing current and previous versions of all the major browsers as well. Another resource for you as well, and I'll talk about how all these things fit together, is the Office 365 technical blog. And it's actually morphed away from being just a technical blog to being more of a comprehensive blog that gives you more information around different, more detail around things that are either released to the service or in some cases coming to the service or some best practices that we have regarding the service as well. Let me just show you that so you can see this as well. This actually came out before we released the roadmap, and it started to turn into a place to go for people to get information around what was coming. But this is where, when we actually release a feature, when it's generally available, whether it's through first release or just goes straight to standard release, this is where you can get that information. This also gives, when we talk about longer-term future announcements in the service, this is where you'll go to get it as well. So when we announced some of our compliance and security features like DLP earlier this week and MDM for Office 365, you get additional blogs here that talk about that in more detail. When we announced some of the new extensibility capabilities, you get that here as well. We also have, later this week, you'll see a blog post on performance tuning for Office 365, you know, networking best practices and making sure you have good performance with Office 365. That type of content will all be published here. Oftentimes, the blog will be published and will be linked inside of the roadmap post as well. So we will connect the dots here for you. We talked a bit briefly about the disruptive change policy, and I have it linked in here in the deck as well so that you can take this with you. I mentioned that when we talked about disruptive change that, you know, it's defined by significant change that you need to make within your environment to continue the continuity of the service or to keep data flowing to the service. And again, we take this type of change very seriously, and I would say these changes are fewer and far between. This is where we have a very significant update like support for a version of the client or browser that requires you to make some significant changes in your environment. These changes are not very common. And what our policy states is that we will give you a minimum of 12-month notice for these very disruptive changes that actually requires you to do a bunch of work to keep data flowing to the service and keep data flowing to your end users. And so, and we'll talk about how we communicate those and where we communicate those. But for you as well, there's a link here to our support page where we go into detail on this process. This is the language we use for Office 365. There's some caveats across some of the other services, but we have a very strong policy on this for Office 365. And the place where we do communicate those type of changes and now additional type of changes is in Message Center. I mentioned before we have a lot of different ways we could communicate to our customers. We've tried email communications, through account team communications, through support communications, and we found a couple things. One, we send emails, and often emails get lost, and so people didn't actually see the content we sent around, you need to update your browser. So they didn't see that, and then something broke, and that was not great for the customer or for Microsoft. And so we found that in-product notification for a lot of the change and action you need to take is the best way to actually communicate to you. And so we developed a capability inside the admin experience called Message Center. We've done a lot of work in Message Center, but I would say today it's still a very basic product that has a lot of improvements that we can make to it to make it even better. But this is the place to go for those change communications in particular, those disruptive change communications and other type of change communications, especially ones that require you to take action, where we want to notify you of something that you need to do ahead of a change, or we notify you when a longer term, bigger disruptive change is coming. So we've done a couple things. One, when we first built Message Center, it was just, you know, a nice little inbox inside of the admin experience. And when we would publish new changes, nobody saw it. And so we've done little things like a notification bell. Hey, there's a new communication inside of Message Center. You should pay attention to it. We've had tenant targeting, meaning that when we are able to actually identify a configuration change or a disruptive change that will impact you, and we can target your tenant. We don't have the ability today to understand whether, you know, what your environment completely looks like, obviously. So we can't tell whether you've actually already done the browser update or not. But we're working to get better targeting as part of that as well. We've recently added other type of messaging besides just disruptive change messaging to Message Center, including change communications as well. So this is going to improve and get better over time. We've also added some level of categorization, trying to follow a loose kind of ITIL change model there as well. I'll show you what that looks like. And then we also added an API. We heard loud and clear from customers that it's great that you publish it here, but the way we manage change and updates to the service isn't just a single admin who has access to Message Center, but we want to federate that out to different users in our environment. And so we provided an API to access all that data and then to consume it in different tools as well. So let me actually show you Message Center real quick so you can see what that looks like. Oops, wrong one. Let me go to the dashboard here. All right. So this is Message Center, for those of you who haven't seen it. And we have the first category is prevent and fix issues. And this is where you'll get communications on those disruptive changes that you need to take action on. And this is just an example of a change communication around our lifecycle policy for Internet Explorer. So we have some details on the change. We have, you know, the date when we communicated to you. We also have the date and when that expires, and information on when you need to take action by. And then from this, we link to information and technical articles on what specifically you need to do to be prepared for that change. We also have other types of changes that that you need to be aware of as well. For instance, here's a communication around SharePoint Online. So in some cases, there might be features that change significantly, look different, or were removed completely, and we send you communications here to be aware of those as well. And then we needed a place where we could communicate to you about other things around the service. There are some instances where we have a known issue working with a very specific ISP, and we would need to communicate to customers around what was going on so they're aware. They knew it wasn't their issue. They knew it wasn't Microsoft's issue, but that we were working on it with their ISP, for instance. And this is where we will communicate those types of changes. We also, inside of this this change tab, or in this Message Center tab, is where we will also publish a lot of the same information that you see in the roadmap website, like what's changed in the month of September. We will publish that information here to you as well and link out to the additional information for that also. All right. So just to recap, I'll give you a view of the yes question. Sorry, what was that? An app for the Message Center? We do have an app. That's a great question. If you go to, I think we have it for across all three mobile platforms, Windows, iOS, and Android. There's the Office 365 mobile admin application. And it has both Service Health communications and Message Center communications. You can download it from the stores today. Great question. So these are the categories of change we talked about before. So just show you I'll just build this out. The different types of change that we talked about and where to go to get the information from it. So this is the map of how you get to the different types of communication. So feature updates will be available as part of the public roadmap. Minimum 1 to 3 months, we will publish those in the public roadmap. Again, it's the vast majority of those changes. We will also message, in some cases, via Message Center or the blog, those changes, in some cases much earlier. At a minimum, you'll get them at availability via the blog. First release, that is where you'll get communications for those as well. New introductions, we'll use the same mechanisms. And at a very minimum, for those more sensitive changes, like when we announced Office on the iPad, they're very few and far between. But at a very minimum, you'll get a notification at availability. If they go through first release, that would give you a little more time. For disruptive changes, again, these are things that impact the continuity of the service. We have a disruptive change policy that gives you a minimum of 12-month warning for those. Some of those discussions happen via lifecycle policy or system requirements as they evolve, but we're still going to message to you, as you saw within Message Center, gave you that 12-month nagging warning, it's coming, so you can be prepared. Configuration changes, we will message to you via Message Center. Again, this is things like IP whitelisting, DNS configuration changes. And then infrastructure improvements, that last category, we didn't talk about a whole lot, but this is the stuff we do just to run the service, and those will not be notified through those processes, because it's just hygiene on the servers, running the servers, managing the servers. So very quickly, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a view on how we develop the software to give you understand the implications of this. You know, very often I get questions on, well, how come I can't opt out for change? Or how come you can't tell me exactly when this end user at this location will be getting a change? And so hopefully this gives you some visibility into it. But as we develop the service, we have a lot of different things that we're working to balance. You know, number one, obviously, is the quality of the code. Also, security. As I mentioned earlier, security is job number one when it comes to protecting our customers' data. We're also very concerned about the speed of delivery. How fast are we actually? What's the velocity of code? Are we creating really quality code in a very timely fashion? Are we responding to market needs? Are we responding to customer feedback? We also want to make sure our engineers are agile, to be able to pivot and change as market conditions and customer requirements change. And then last but certainly not least is transparency. Doing all of these things, quick, agile, great, secure, fast, and transparent all at the same time. So all of those things are obviously very hard to balance all at the same time, but that's what we're working towards. To just give you an idea of the scale that we're operating, we will be onboarding likely amount of data we'll be onboarding to the service in terms of customers and their data is measured in the exabytes, many exabytes of data we will onboard this year. Our customers, our Office 365 service is a single global instantiation of these technologies. So we no longer fork the code. In the old development process, when we would release a version of the software, the next thing we would do is we would fork it multiple directions, do a bunch of development in those forks, bring the right forks back together, and then release the code, and then fork it again, and then bring it together, and then fork it again. And then what happened on premise for each of our customers is they would take their version of, they would take that software, and then they would customize it their own, which basically became its own fork as well. So now we have a single version of the service running globally that every customer is being serviced against. So for all intents and purposes, your customers are using almost identical version of the service. And that's why we've built all of the new development processes and abstracted away via API all of the customizations of the service from the core code, because in order for us to run at scale for this globally available service, we can't have n number of different customizations running in the service. Everybody's using the same thing. That gives us the ability to be agile and run the service globally at scale at the cost we do. So our surface area is huge. Again, we're measuring this in exabytes. And so the number of customers, the number of data centers, the number of services and countries that we're running against. And so we can't partition each individual customer individually, again, because we're running it this way. And the way we manage updates and improvements to the service is also abstracted. One thing about managing Office 365 versus the way you've managed on-premise software is that we actually don't even have access to the data. We don't have access, on standing access to your individual environment. And so we can't access the data. We're not customizing your specific area for you because we've abstracted ourselves away from that. So whether it's operations to manage a service or whatnot, everything's been abstracted, including how we update the service away from the customer data. And so we manage it in an automated way. We have many different processes for the system to repair itself when there are issues, but we also do that through standardized abstracted operations. We also are using data-driven technologies that look across the service to look for issues, look for patterns, and look for feature improvements we need to make. And then it's all obviously secured. Again, we don't have any standing permissions or access to the data. So when it comes to targeting a specific customer, you want to know exactly when this feature is going to come to your environment. Because we've abstracted ourselves away from the data, we don't know that on purpose. And so we can't tell you at this point in time how we do that for you. So there are actually some very interesting and very difficult technical problems to solve to both maintain the privacy of our customer data, but provide us the ability to give that individual customer a better view into what's going on within their environment. And so one, privacy and security is job number one. And we will start there, and then we will build technologies to maintain privacy and security of the data that then give you better optics into what's happening in your environment and better control over what's happening in your environment. So we think we've started in the right way, and we're going to build more capabilities as we go on. So again, often a question I get is, well, why can't I just opt out of that change? When we look at the service through that lens of how we're developing it, global scale, people using a single instantiation of the service, with that, no branches of the code, only one version of the code. If one person decides to opt out of that change, these updates, given how fast the process is working, are serial. They're not parallel. So you have to accept one change after the next. So if you break that, then everybody stops, or that individual customer stops. One customer asks for it. They get their own branch. Another customer asks for it. They get their own branch. Another customer asks for it. They get their own branch. And as you can see, we get into the same model that we've been in for the past 20 years, where every customer has a unique Snowflake instance of SharePoint or of Exchange. And then moving that forward and updating through that evergreen process becomes nearly impossible. And so at this point in time, you know, as the technology improves, there are more ways that we can provide more control and more customizations and more ability to manage change. But that's some of the technical issues that we've been dealing with. We've got about 15 minutes left, so I want to give you some access to some tools and some other options you have for you as yourself as well. You know, per your earlier question, is there a mobile app? How can I stay up to date with this information? We have the Office 365 admin app. We're actually looking at a lot of new potential experiences that we can provide you on a mobile device. We know two things, that a lot of Office 365 admins didn't like that they had to be tied to a PC to keep up to date with service health. We also saw the same for message center communications, and so we provided the admin application to be able to access this information on the go. It's very light. There's a lot of improvements we can make to it. We hear a lot of requests for things like, can I actually perform some actions on my mobile device as well as I'm running around, whether it's helping end users with password reset or some other key things. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the admin session later this week. And also related to that, wanting to consume the message center communications as well as the service health communications, we have published an API about 5 or 6 months ago that allows you to access all of the service health and message center communications as well as maintenance change communications. And then you can put that into your management tool of choice, which could be Excel, or it could be the Service Center Management Pack we released with it. So there's an Office 365 SCOM pack that you can download, a template that you can download, access the Service Health API information, and then consume that in System Center if you choose to as well. There's one more place, and this is an informal place for change communications, but it's also, I think, very interesting and valuable. Is the Office 365 Yammer technical network. How many people here are already members of the technical network? Okay. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, it's really we have information about it in the Office 360 or office booth downstairs, or on the same floor. Anyway, on the booth floor. I don't know what floor I'm on. But this is also a great place to go to interact directly with us. I'm on the network. All of my team and then all of my colleagues are on the network as well. And we have a lot of interaction directly with customers in the Yammer network. There's actually a change forum in the network as well, where between customers, consultants, support people, and others communicate around the roadmap and change. Oops. We've had a Yam Jam. If you haven't ever heard of a Yam Jam, that means we put a lot of our engineers, our marketing people, our technical people, all on the Yammer network. We're there sitting there live all at the same time, where we can discuss specific topics. We pretty recently had a Yam Jam talking about change management as well. So that's a very specific point in time where you can give us direct feedback on that also. We also have one of the groups within the Yammer network is a change group as well. So it's a really great place to go to get information on Office 365 if you haven't joined there as well. It's not a formal communication mechanism. Like that's not going to be the primary place where you go as a source of truth to get change communications. But it's a good way to understand from others how they're working through, building out new IT models around service management, other changes people have seen, other feedback or options, best deployments for best practices for deployment, and other things. All right. So we've gone through a lot of information. So one, we went over kind of the principles of the cloud, what it means to be an evergreen service, what's different between what we used to deliver on-premise versus today. We talked a little bit about the time frame for communications, expectations, where to go to get information, the sources of truth for communications. We talked about the first release program and the options for you there to choose to join that program, and then implications of the cloud and how we develop the software. So hopefully it's given you a good overview of what we do, why we do it. I would love to take questions if you have questions as well, so feel free. And other than that, there is a few related sessions as well that you should be aware of. There's a couple that have already taken place. An overview of security and compliance in Office 365 is a great session to attend. We have a couple other roadmap sessions that are happening here this week. Some have already happened, but there was a session earlier this week talking specifically about what's new in OneDrive. We had another session that's specifically what's new in Exchange Online, one introducing a couple of our new capabilities, Delve and the Office Graph. There is another service management session that goes into much deeper detail on service health communications and incident communications and incident management. That's happening this afternoon. I didn't put the time on here, but it's happening in D1, and I believe it's at, let me give you the time here. I believe it is at 4:30 this afternoon, where you can get more information on the service incident communications. And then there's another session on Friday where they're going to talk about updates to Office 365 Pro Plus, so the Office updates as well. So again, we're providing a lot of transparency and visibility on the roadmap stuff, and there's some great sessions here, but that roadmap website is your best location. Oh, here's the site for the I got ahead of myself, the technical network. All right, questions, comments, feedback? Yeah, question. Sorry, I couldn't hear the question very well. Sorry. So the question is around new business plans, like new SKUs, new business plans. Is that what you're talking about? An advance warning there? Yeah. So new service line offerings. So new SKUs is one of those that are a more sensitive set of disclosures that we haven't been giving as advance warning on, like a full new SKU, like when we released the new smaller business SKUs of Office, for instance, where we didn't provide advance warning. And some of that has to do with just the process internally, but some of it also has to do with just sensitivity in the marketplace for changing SKUs and changing sales models. And so we don't disclose those in advance currently. Yeah. Yeah, we should talk about how we disclose that to partners. So we have a different process there. So happy to talk to you actually specifically about that piece. Other questions? I'm very quiet. All right. Well, I will be here for a few more minutes, and then I will be down in the booth on the booth floor beginning in about an hour when that opens. And so feel free to stop by there as well. Happy to discuss further. Take your feedback. Would love to hear if there are things you would like to see us do in this area or other areas of Office 365 as well. But thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to TechEd. Appreciate it.